From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we break down the gut-wrenching loss to the Lions and close out what can only be described as a fully disappointing season from the Green Bay Packers. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Christian Watson.
We got the bad. We got
Aaron Rodgers.
We got the ugly. We got
Quay Walker. My goodness. Man, you get thrown out of two games in one season, you're definitely in the ugly. I mean, I understand there are circumstances and things beyond his control as far as what he is reacting to, but my goodness, that was ugly. That was ugly. Don't love it.
It really was.
Don't like it.
I don't like that he deleted his Twitter account, and
this is the thing. Well, we'll get into Twitter and the whole thing later, but
Did you see, here's the thing, like, how can you not feel for the kid? One, okay, he's a rookie, okay, and I just feel like, I don't care how many times, like, second chance is literally the second season. It's not second chances within a first season when you're a rookie, okay? Two, Rashawn Gary goes down. This kid, we literally said it that week. It was like, oh, if the defense is going to do anything, it's going to be because Quay Walker keeps doing his thing.
He did his thing.
He did his thing, right. And it the little hope we had was the little hope that we had as a team to make the playoffs was largely due to the play of one Quay Walker. So, you know, yeah, figure some shit out, but
yes, he's a young man. He made a really big mistake though. I mean, we can't sweep that under the rug. There's no doubt about it, but I really hope that next year he comes back and just shows to everybody, you know, not only is he a really good player, but he knows what he did wrong. And he's going to rectify that.
I wish that people treated what he did to that trainer the same way what the police officer did to AJ Dillon. And I'll just let the comments kind of go from there.
I don't disagree. I definitely don't
carry
disagree.
Carry the G, baby. Carry the G. Let's go.
Look at that. Look, a little carry the G in your hand. There we go.
I'm going to be drinking a lot of it. I'm so depressed tonight. It's the Packers mainly, but yeah, it's just like, it's one of those, like,
I feel you.
It's one of those sleety, dude, today, this is crazy. I'm on a call. I look to my left and I see Green Bay Harbor, which is always beautiful, but literally it feels like since in between the Packers playing the Lions, Green Bay has had this like gray overcast just
all
on it.
Over it.
Yeah, and but even before, right? It's just been this. There's news anchors that talk about this phenomena, and it's like it's been like crushing, like just gray. Like every time you wake up, you're just like, it's still sleeting. It's like seven. It's like seven. It's always
seven,
raining in seven.
All the time, right.
Yeah, and it's like, and today I got out, and I literally look, and I'm like, everybody go outside and get some vitamin D. The sun is out. I've never said that in my life. And I literally yelled it in the office. I was just like, this is our moment. There's only going to be like 2 hours of this, guys.
This is our sliver of time. That's great. That is great. I mean, yeah, it's funny you say that because whatever you guys have had, it's definitely hit New York today because it's been rainy and overcast and gray all day long since the moment I woke up, to kind of mirror and echo the mood I have about the Packers. Because, look, it is interesting, though, with the game on Sunday and the season coming to an end. Man, Zabe asked me on the radio this morning, like, where does it rank? And I'm like, this doesn't even touch the disappointment and the gut punch that we've experienced both recently, not so recently, Super Bowl loss. I mean, I could go down a list of things that hurt way more than this when it comes to Packers season enders. So, you know, it was a tough game to swallow, and I'm still kind of hurt about it. But on the list of disappointments, not even close. Not even.
I mean, honestly, they played like we thought they would. They played like they had all season, you know, except for like four times. I mean, here's the thing, and everybody's going to shit on me for this, but I don't give a shit. And I've been thinking about this for a while, but it's like, ever since Adam Schefter made that announcement before the draft 2.5 years ago, whatever it was, that Aaron Rodgers was considering not coming back to the Green Bay Packers, this offense has been trash. And, you know, you can say what you want about the offense being better than the defense this year, and that's fine, but this offense has never really gotten itself together, and it's gotten run over by really good teams, and it's just not been able
to. Really good teams, too.
It's not been able to produce. No, but I mean, if you look, in that instance, I was thinking, you know, going with my cousins into Lambeau Field for the first time after the pandemic, six people in our grandfather seats in a weird spot, watching us get our ass handed to us by the Bucks because, you know, we can't fucking take advantage of a three turnovers in a row and get some offense going, you know? And it's just like, you know, or finding our identity. Like, there's something that broke, and I know I said London, but there's something that broke on that day, that draft day, and it hasn't been the same since.
Well, what's fascinating, though, is like, okay, so I think the first year he comes back, they're still pretty good. They're obviously not as good as they were prior, right? But, you know, I mean, hell, they were productive, especially as long as Davante Adams was in town. What's interesting to me is how far off they've fallen when it comes to red zone offense. You know, the red zone offense was so good a few years ago, definitely slipped a little bit last year. This year, it was straight up hard to watch. I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know where the execution went. I don't know where the creativity and the play calling went. Although there were some of those questions last year, they were still able to score touchdowns as opposed to this year where we said it on Watch Party. Unless you throw one of those bombs to Watson or Lazard that goes into the end zone, you're in trouble because you're just throwing yourself into a situation where you have struggled mightily all season long. Speaking of which, let's look at one of those, shall we? In this week's hotness, the final hotness of the season. Roll it, Nicholas. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Each and every week, prior to getting to the news and having to get into the nitty-gritty, we like to get the hotness going here at Packer Transplants. This week, I mean, there's no doubt. There's no question what it is. Nicholas, go ahead and roll it, because this is just a thing of beauty. Aaron Rodgers rising to fire deep down the right sideline. And look at this rookie receiver with a guy draped all over him. Are you kidding me with this catch? What's that? Let's look at it several different times in slow-mo. Okay, because here it is. I mean, this is a rookie. This is incredible. This is just an incredible play by a kid who is only going to get better. And I love that he gets up and mean mugs and talks his smack. And, oh, yeah, one more time. Guy hugging him as he catches it. What's that? One last final different angle? Yeah, there it is. I mean, my goodness, people, how long have we waited for a playmaker, a deep shot playmaker in this offense who didn't need it to be completely wide open and just completely have it handed to a gift wrap to him, who can make a play like that with a dude all over him? I love it. That's the hotness right there. That is the hotness. And he's only a rookie. Did I mention he's a rookie? He's a rookie. All right. Time for some Packers news. I don't know if you're aware of this. I don't know if you've got the memo here, Corey Behnke, but the Packers have missed the playoffs for the first time under Matt LaFleur. It's a dark day. It's a dark day in Packers history. And I don't know, man. I know there are people who have already begun to beat the drum that it is time to fire Matt LaFleur. And that's, I will say, even for entitled town, that's a bit shocking to me. That is a bit shocking to me. You missed the playoffs for the first time as a coach, and it's time for you to be fired? I don't know, man. I don't know if I can board that train.
Who said that?
Oh, are you kidding me? Well, you must not be on Twitter very much.
Dude, you're several, reading eggs.
Several
you're,
humans.
You're cherry picking eggs.
No,
it's always,
there was a pod. There's a very
always,
popular
every time,
podcast.
Oh my god!
Put it
if
out.
If I had a dollar for every time some blogger, social media reporter, oh, Twitter saying it, and then you actually go to the source tweet and it's like an egg, and they have like zero followers. By the way,
no. These are actual humans.
No.
Who are Packers fans.
You've met them?
Who are saying this.
You know them? You've
I've never met them. I've seen them online, though.
But okay.
Many people have never seen us in life. And
there's this thing called AI where you can like basically recreate
that's
entire
it.
Human beings.
So
by the way.
Someone is out there, probably Vikings fans, making artificial intelligence versions of Packers fans calling for Matt LaFleur's ouster. That's what you're telling
yes.
me.
Yes. Okay. That is the way more sense. Likely scenario
including,
than an actual.
Including someone in this here chat earlier. Okay, that sounds good.
No. Yeah. Chat. There's this all thing right. called Chat GPT, and it can just take over
cool.
stuff. I hear.
Rock and roll,
this
man.
Is what I hear.
I love it.
That's a way more plausible scenario than what you're suggesting. What you're suggesting is
that
actual
fans
Packer
are
fans are saying, oh, no, well, we know this. But yeah,
that's
why would you... Why would you want who would you want as coach, by the way? Let's go down this rabbit hole for
me?
A second.
They want Sean Payton. It's like Sean Payton is now
Payton.
The officially.
I'm sure they're saying Jim Leonard too. Somebody will throw Jim Leonard out there.
Just relax.
I need Jim Leonard as my coach.
You remember how for years, and I'm talking for years, Packers fans want like some disgruntled Packers fans wanted Bill Cowher. Even though Cowher had been retired for years and it was still like, oh, we could still get Bill Cowher. Sean Payton is the new Bill Cowher. Like Packers fans, oh my God. Yes. Sean Payton is the thing. Oh, you see, you're saying all this, and I'm like, okay, I understand where you're coming from. But literally talking to Billy on Beer and Ball, he said the very first call they got on Packers OT
at
iHeart,
the
post-game radio show was we should bring
the
Sean
radio.
Payton.
The radio producer, interesting, which person they picked to be the first caller. You know that they have like a queue. They can line them up. Oh, you want Matt LaFleur fired? What a great way to start. What a great way to start our show. Yeah, ChatGPT made that call.
Someone made the call. That's all I'm saying. Oh, ChatGPT.
Yeah. Yeah, Armin made that call. It was Armin. Dude, if
Armin
I here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing. If I was an iHeartRadio producer, which honestly, I should just do this. If we do the post-game show, we should have a thing. If we ever end up getting to do any kind of post-game show, when you guys have whatever the call-in segment is, I'm just going to try to be – I'm basically going to try to prank you guys as like a Wisconsin fan, come up with the most crazy shit, and you guys will have to sniff me out. That would be fun. That could be a whole sponsored thing.
Yeah, a sponsored gig. But the problem is like it'd probably be no – it'd be indiscernible from all the other nonsense and craziness that they get post-game after a loss. So – yeah, that'll be fun. That'd be a good time. That'd be a good time. It's like, where's Waldo with crazy takes? I like it. I like it a lot. also, other Packers news. The 2023 Packers opponents are set now that they have finished their season. At home, of course, they have their divisional opponents. And then at home, at Lambeau, we will see the Chiefs, Chargers, Rams, Saints, and Bucks. Maybe Tom Brady returns to Lambeau. I doubt it, but you never know.
Doubt it.
And then, of course, on the road, again, the division folks. And then going to Atlanta, going to Carolina, Corey, our old stomping grounds, going to Denver to face the Broncos, Vegas to take on the Raiders, here in New York City to take the Giants on, and then going to see the Steelers in Pittsburgh. And I'm telling you right now, Corey, the Cheesehead TV meetup here in New York for that Giants game is going to be off the chain.
It's
going to put London to
shame.
It feels
like there's more away than home because there's one more away, right? Because of the
yes.
thing.
Yes, because this was our year.
And then
home game
after
and
this,
London.
We get a home game, right?
So next year, yes, for 2024, Lambeau will finally get 9 home games for the first time.
I hate the NFL with a fucking passion. I swear to God, I hate the NFL with a fucking passion. All they do is fuck us all the time. They just fuck us all the time. They fuck you. What is that? What is the?
Fuck you at the drive-thru. It's Joe Pesci.
Fuck you at the drive-thru. Yeah.
It's Lethal Weapon 3, I believe.
Yeah, Lethal. Hey, fuck you at the drive-thru.
That's how deep you went with that.
That's how you get.
The drive-thru.
Yeah.
Fuck you at the drive-thru.
But doesn't he say it all the time? Like, he basically brings up another vendor, and they're like, yeah, and then they do that, and then you get those. It's so great. That's how I feel as a Packer fan, is Joe Pesci and Lethal Weapon 3.
What about the NFL?
Yes. That's what they do. They love it. They love it. They love it. Oh, them little yokels. Let's fuck them over.
Wait a second. You know, but every other fan base in the NFL will say, are you high on crack? All the NFL does is bend over backwards for the Packers. I mean, they just put them in prime time. You know, they try to make things great for the Packers. That's what.
Yeah, that turned out so great. That turned out so great.
It's not their fault, the Packers.
Let's be real. They weren't – the reason – there's only one reason and one reason only that they flexed that game, okay? Maximum ratings. Eyeballs for ratings 100, and they'll say they didn't do it to help the Packers playoff chances. I can tell you that right now. No, and they didn't do it to help the fans that have to sit there at. Now, it wasn't even that cold, but if it had, it could have been cold, right? So all of a sudden they put people in negative 20, which they've done before. They don't give a shit about that. So they only care about ratings. And if you look historically at the NFL in the last 10 years, Packers pretty high up in the ratings. Packers, Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the NFL's already high up, but the Packers are the cream of the crop. Like, they're it.
I mean, believe still to through week 18, the Cowboys-Packers game is the highest rated on the season. Like, and that wasn't even a Sunday night game. So that'll definitely get
watching the Packers on football. You know they make this candle. I don't know if you know this. It's called Grandpa's Chair. It smells like grandpa. Okay?
What?
The Packers are the grandpa chair candle for America. Okay? Like, if you want comfort food, right? If you just want to be like, if you just want to wrap yourself up in like non-patriotic America, like America that's like, you know, kind of real America, right? Not just
Americana,
like, oh, I'm draping the flag over me, whatever.
No,
Packers are as close as it gets. They're so close. Like, they're the grandpa's chair candle of life, really.
Of life, truly.
I mean, grandpa's chair smells really good. You know grandpa's chair. Everybody knows. Everybody knows what grandpa's chair smells like.
At this point, grandpa's chair is my dad's chair. My dad is like famous with our friends group and whatever. My family's
and how
group.
Good
like,
does his chair
dad
smell?
Has his
how
chair,
good does his chair
and he
smell?
He never leaves it, and it's awesome. It was better when you used to smoke a pipe when I was a kid, but even today, it's amazing.
But that's the thing. You sit in that chair, and you immediately want to go to sleep. You immediately are like,
oh, yeah. You're like
warm.
Wrapped
you feel
in a warm
warmth.
Blanket, 100%.
Yeah, that's the Packers.
I will say, it is funny you say that. Like, you see the Packers, especially in a night game in, like, December or January, there is a very kind of, I don't know, a comforting feeling about it. Like, it is like it's something we've gotten used to as a society almost because the Packers have been good for so long, etc. But it is kind of like a, you know, a moment every year where it's like, oh, yeah, they're the Packers on TV as they should be. I agree with that sentiment. The other bit of news is the Packers have the 15th selection in the 2023 NFL draft. So they did just enough to put themselves right in the middle. Like, I understand there's plenty of fans out there who were hoping they would tank. They didn't do that. But now it's like, okay, now you got to deal with the fact that you won those games at the end of the year. 15th selection. So, you know, hey, you can still get a good player at 15. Still get a great player at 15. But that's where the Packers will be drafting. I will say, Corey, the one singular upside here is that we don't have to wait quite as long on draft night during the live Cheesehead TV draft stream to wait for the Packers selection. Though we all know.
Did we take AJ Hawk at 7?
I can't remember. It was 6, I think. 6 or 7.
Oh, 6.
Because.
Yeah. Who's somebody good we took at 15? 15's like such a shitty place to be.
I don't remember off the top of my head anybody at any number.
It's like you're almost remember, you're overpaying for somebody at 15. You know, it's like
probably
it's like the
first depends on the
eight
tiers.
Guys.
This is the thing. Yeah, I mean, there's like essentially usually right.
It's like
there's
the first eight guys, and then the next eight get paid
guys.
Like yeah, kind yeah. of the first eight, and then you're like, oh well, they're you know, and if
they're
you pick
good,
you're like, oh, I didn't overpay. And yeah, it's just a weird place. You can't really trade up. How are you gonna trade up?
Well,
oh
yeah,
my God,
gotta,
the Packers traded up. What if the Packers traded up for a quarterback?
Okay,
oh
can we
Lord.
Just not? Can we just not?
I feel like
can we wait,
but I feel like if you're Brian right now and you know, I mean, let's be real, okay? Right. We're like, can we just be real with ourselves for 2 seconds here? We're gonna spend sure. the next 365 fucking days of our life, okay? With the same shit we just went through, okay? And if we're going to do that, like, how are we not? How are we not? Someone explain this to me. Somebody tell me we're not going to be doing Groundhog Day as Packer fans this year. Because that's what we just did last year.
I hope we're not, but I got to admit, I'm kind of right there with you. Now, my one sliver of hope is, like, breaking down Rodgers' contract and all of that kind of sheds a little bit of light as to why this might be the year they move on. But we'll get there when we get to Blogosphere, which you know if you read.
But how do you move on, though? I want to know.
We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later.
But I'm just saying, you're talking about the draft right now. I'm still in the draft, okay? I know somebody said watching this show is like watching fireworks that don't light. Or they light, but they can't stay lit. That's fine.
Fair,
it's my fault.
Fair.
If you're upset, that's fine. It's all my fault. Who do you draft at 15, though? You know what I'm saying?
Dude, you're asking me, Mr. I don't pay attention to the draft until, like, the combine?
I feel like I know it sounds a little crazy, but just stick with me, okay? So
yeah, I'm with you.
You can't pick up Jordan Love's fifth option because it's just going to piss the kid off.
Fifth year option.
So you're going to have to, yeah. So you're going to have to trade him, right?
No,
I mean, Aaron Rodgers was trying to get traded
no.
that whole time during Favre and all that. He was like making a little bit of a stink and all that stuff. Like, you got to play me,
sure,
you got to play me.
Right.
So this year is going to be Jordan's agents being like, you got to play him, you got to play him, you got to play him. Right. So like, that's going to be, yeah. there's going to be all that kind of like, then there's going to be, you know, us not being
again?
Able to hand
all
off to a running back. And then there's going to be us not being able to get hand signals because we haven't taught the right hand signals. Then there's going to be us not figuring shit out. Then there's going to be us not understanding situational football and all those things that our offense
right.
loves to give us all the time. And then
right.
so then meanwhile you could just have the heir apparent, you know, you could draft the heir apparent and give him a year.
Mm-hmm.
Get him ready.
I love Aaron Picard in the comments. The middle of the draft is overpaying. Ja at 18 and Gary at 12 worked out fine. Yeah, because they picked really good players. The point is if you don't, then you're fucking screwed and overpaying. But I hear you. I trust Brian's going to take a good player in the first round. It's that third round that seems to be the issue. And then finally, a little last piece of Packers news. The Packers draw the most fans to Lambeau in 5 years. Now, of course, some of those years included a pandemic, so it's you know, kind of skewed a little bit. But it is good to see Lambeau back. You know what I mean? Like, that Cowboys game was fucking awesome. And the vibe, the Vikings game was great. Lambeau averaged 78,075 paying fans per game compared to 77,991 last year. And it's the most since 2017 on average. So it's good to see Lambeau back, like fully back.
I like it.
God,
I like
it. No other place on this earth you want to watch a football game other than Lambeau Field. And now we don't get to until August. God help me. All right, let's talk about the offense, shall we? This offense, baby, let me tell you something. I was feeling it. I was feeling like, okay, you know, yes, there's still a little bit of herky-jerky, kind of still trouble in the red zone. But I tell you what, the offensive line is playing real well. Maybe if Aaron Rodgers comes out of the gate smoking hot and, you know, they get that running game going and they get the play-action game going and we're going to go right into the playoffs and make a run. And then Sunday night happened and it all fell apart because the offensive line fell apart. I mean, this was their poorest performance as a collective since the Jets game. I mean, it was shocking. And this is not – I mean, kudos to the Lions. They had a great game plan, especially when it came to taking away what the Packers like to do with the zone running scheme. But my God, and I like Hutchinson's a great player. Don't get that twisted. He beat Yosh. He beat Tom. He's really good. He was a high draft pick for a reason. But man, as a whole, as a unit, the interior were the major problem. You know, the broadcast will highlight, you know, a tackle getting beat on third down, and that's normal, and I get that. But man, whether it was Jenkins, whether it was Myers, who had his probably worst game of the year, or Runyon, who has had a really good season, all three of them were, you know, I'm not going to say terrible, but they were pretty bad for a good chunk of this game. And you can talk about Aaron Rodgers at the end, and we will. You can talk about the defense giving up stuff in the fourth quarter. All of that is true. But to me, the entirety of this game falls on the offensive line. Because if the offensive line performs up to the standard they had set the month prior, they win this game. So I just,
that's flabbergasting the Bucks to me. Game. That's the, I mean, like, it's like we've been down this story. It's like as soon as you realize, I fundamentally do not understand, okay? I understand the philosophy of, like, that third contract, right? I get that. But I don't fundamentally understand when you watched David Bakhtiari fall apart on you in the Bucks game for whatever reason because he couldn't be there. You play him in the Lions game, you know, I think it was a year ago. You see all this, and you don't keep Corey Linsley. It's just maddening. It's like Corey Linsley, you know what? Corey Linsley played really good this season. I watched him.
Yeah, he
was the only other person I watched. He had some penalties in some games, but he played as good as he's played. You know, he was solid, right? So now you got a solid guy, and it's like the offensive line is that one. I don't know. It's like taken for granted. It's been 100% taken for granted.
Yes, it's the engine.
It's 100% been taken for granted that we'll have a good offensive line as the Green Bay Packers. And that's probably the number one reason in the last two decades we've been a good team.
You get in your car, right? You get up in the morning, you're going to work, you get in your car, you turn it on, and you drive there, and you get out of the car, and you go inside. That's it, right? That's what's supposed to happen. You talk about being taken for granted. When you've got a good engine that works, yeah, you take it for granted because it works.
Yep.
But the Packers' offensive line absolutely blew gaskets, belt lines, fucking, you know, fuel hose line. Everything was just done in that game. It was awful. It fell
apart. All season until they gelled and kind of late, 75% of the way in the season,
they made the shift after the Jets game because that was a complete embarrassment. And they seem to find at least, you know, a way that the kind of cohesive unit would work together. And you thought, you know, going into this final game, okay, here comes Detroit, a team that you move the ball up and down the field in their house. You know, again, not a world-beating bunch up front, especially along the interior. And they made you look silly in your place. It's just the biggest disappointment of the season for me. Speaking of disappointments, early drops, fumble, missed throws, it all adds up. It all adds up. You look at these three things, right? Drops, fumbles, and missed throws, right? You got a drop from Lazard and a drop from Dillon. You got a fumble, probably the entire fulcrum of this game. The entire thing swings on Aaron Jones's fumble. And then missed throws from Rodgers, including an interception that got called back because of a penalty. Thank goodness. All of these mistakes are by your best frontline players.
Yep.
You can't win that way. You can't win, especially when you throw in the atrocious play of the offensive line. But your best players need to play their best in these big games. And for whatever reason, over the course of the last like 3-4 years, the Packers have gotten to this moment where it's win or go home, and their best players do not play their best. I'm not talking just, again, not just this year. Davante Adams didn't play his best in the game last two years. You know, had phenomenal seasons. You get to that big win-or-go-home game, not as good. And that totally held up on Sunday night. Your best players need to play their best, and they most certainly didn't. And, again, another huge disappointment.
I mean, it kind of goes to, you know, I personally, Lazard had an incredible blocking season, and he had an incredible, pretty good wide receiver season. I think the one knock on Lazard is that the details, right? It's the times when I need you. And this happened many times, at least seven times that I can think as a receiver. He had moments. They were typically slants. They were quick shoots. They were things where it's like, I got to get you the ball because I need a first down from you. And this is the most important thing I need from you today, where for whatever reason, he didn't deliver. And when you're the number one, like you said, right? Like when you're the number one, you can't afford not to deliver in those moments.
You've got to. You're a frontline starter. You've got to be consistently good, if not great. And again, for whatever reason, these games, and you know, I saw somebody in the chat ask, why didn't they play their best? I mean, if I knew that, I'd sell it to Matt. I have no idea. It's been a consistent issue, and it's not just under Matt. It goes back to McCarthy's days, where if you don't play your best in the biggest games, you're not going to win. The best players, your best players need to play their best, because we all know the margin for victory in the NFL is so slim anyway. Like, if your best players aren't playing up to their potential, you're really putting yourself behind the eight ball. There's no doubt about it. But I will say, we're soon going to add a name to this list when we talk about the frontline stars of the Green Bay Packers, and that, of course, is Christian Watson. I mean, you look at the way this kid completely changed everything on the offensive side of the ball as far as their approach and the way other teams play them. I mean, you don't think for a second that defensive coordinators are going to spend a whole lot of time looking at how the Packers utilize this guy all throughout the second half of the season, basically from the Cowboys game on. It is going to be a focal point, because you talk about guys who, you know, give you trouble or cause you nightmares as a defensive coordinator. Watson can take any touch or any play and be gone. He's so explosive. He's so dynamic. I love this guy. I love the potential. We've only seen just even the tiniest little bit of it. And now, and the onus is on him. We talk about the year one to year two jump. That is on the player. Now it is about the work he does when he's away from the facility, when he's gone for the offseason. What does he do to put himself into position to capitalize on what was an outstanding second half of this season? I'm excited.
If we ever figure out how multiverses work, I really believe that I could go. I want to get the ticket so that I can go in the multiverse for the 2023 season where he catches the ball in the first game, gets a touchdown, and we go on to win the Super Bowl. Because there is a multiverse where those two things – no, seriously. I'm serious. There is a multiverse where those two – I want to live in that world, okay? I bet it's the same world.
Find it.
I bet in that world, Brandon Bostic never happened either. I bet we went to the Super Bowl in that year. So I want to live in a Packer fan. I want to live in a Packer fan friendly multiverse. Is that so much to ask?
I don't think so. I
feel like it's not that much to ask.
Oh, I can't wait. Let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball, shall we? Yeah, let's talk about the defense, because everyone wants Joe Barry fired. Everyone's beside themselves that
I know a different Corey lives in that world. I'm killing that Corey, by the way. I'm going to kill that Corey. He's going to be dead. Other multiverse Corey, you're dead, so get ready. I'm going to come kill you. Okay, because two people can't live in their own multiverse.
Amy's right. You said the B word. You said it. No one else.
I did.
You said the B word.
Because I was in a multiverse. Unbelievable. I was in the multiverse.
It's a fair point. That's a fair point. The defense played well enough to win that game. Everybody talking about like stuff in the fourth quarter, second half in general. I understand the complaints. I understand why you are upset with it. The defense played well enough to win that game. When you're kicking those field goals in the first half, Matt himself said it a couple weeks ago, kicking just as many field goals as you need to lose. You know, it's like the offense had given them any kind of support, especially in the first half, they're winning that game. That's a winning effort from the defense.
I mean, that's in my opinion, that's the entire season, but maybe one game, to be honest with you.
I think there were a few, but I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying. I would also add the first Detroit game where they held them to 16 points. Like they've done their job against Detroit. The offense is just completely
Like I know a lot of people, and they're like, oh hey, the defense is kind of weird because like they're ranked like 30th and the offense is ranked 20th, and I'm just like, yeah, right. That's a stat.
No, I know,
but that doesn't really tell a story.
How many times was the defense put in a bad situation because of the offense? And there's like so much kind of so many layers to that. I get DVOA, right? Or just straight up defensive rankings. I understand comparing them previous years, what have you. But I also know that there's context to the game, right? There's ideas of, okay, well, we got, like Sunday is a perfect example. You know, you completely held them down, held them in check for an entire half. And it's still basically essentially, what was it? A one score game at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, in this day and age when all of the rules are kind of given the offense every advantage, like you've got to, if your defense is shutting the other team down, the expectation has to be that you're getting some support from the offense.
Yeah.
And too many times this year, that just didn't materialize. It's complimentary football, which kind of became a buzzword this year, people talking about it. And it's like, yeah, it's what winning football teams do. And I understand a lot of times people look at highlights or other teams that score a lot of points. They're like, well, it has to be like that. Like, no, nobody's sitting here saying they got to score 40 plus a game. I don't expect that. I mean, it'd be nice. Don't get me wrong.
I mean,
sniff my nose at it. But, you know,
they
just
do have Aaron
take
Rodgers.
Care of the football. Well, and it goes back to your favorite sequence in London. When you watch your defense give up an 8-minute touchdown drive, maybe possess the football, give them a little breather, but no, time to go.
I mean, I remember it wasn't too long ago where an Aaron Rodgers led offense could just basically score at will. I remember.
We don't live.
It wasn't a dream.
Feels like a multiverse, though. No,
but it wasn't a dream. It was like 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016. And then, you know, fuck Mike McCarthy, although I love him now and I'm going to change the narrative.
Right.
But fuck Mike McCarthy. I'm going to totally undermine everything he's trying to do on offense and be a fucking diva. And now I'm going to just keep continuing it and not communicate with my coach over time. And it's like, I don't understand. Am I the only person? I know I'm not the only person, but I just feel like, you know, everybody wants to like, I don't know. Everybody wants, anytime you talk about QB1, everybody wants to shit on you because they're just like, oh, you're being political. You're being all this. But like, nothing is more obvious to me. The last 5 years, what is wrong with our offense has been unfortunately the person we most rely on to not be wrong with our offense. And I'm not saying we should have like gotten rid of the guy, but it's like he's the number one problem. He is the number one problem with whether the Green Bay Packers are going to have a good offense or not, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, he's the driver. He has the ball in his hand every play. I will say in those last 5 years, though, we did have the 2020 offense, which was amazing. You know, it's not like it's been completely barren of, you know, of greatness.
It didn't really score at will, though. Not like the old timey. Not like
it was pretty good, though. It was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good. It's pretty efficient. Pretty damn good. Put up a lot of points. But certainly didn't rise to the occasion against the Bucks there at the end of the year. But speaking of which, situational ball, still a heartbreaker. Here's the thing. After everything I just said about the defense played well enough to win, they did, given the fact that they got no offensive support. But then you turn around, and there are two moments, and I know one of them's been kind of well covered on Twitter as far as the play where Jair is playing way off, and basically the Lions receiver just goes to the sticks. It's like an old school like backyard football play, like just go to the sticks and do an out. It was like the Tennessee game all over again. And look, that's frustrating enough, but it's situational, right? Like situational awareness, and that comes down to Joe. It comes down to the guys on the field. Like, you got to know, man, where you're at. And then the other, you flip it around, and after the Aaron Jones fumble, when Detroit is given the ball back, you know, and they go and they get that field goal before halftime, there's the play that gets them in, like, the best possible field goal range when, again, receiver uncovered at the line, just basically darts forward and Goff hits him, and he falls forward. He's not trying to score a touchdown. He's just trying to get into good field goal range. Like, again, situational awareness. And I don't know what the call was. I don't know if that's something somebody missed. on the field. I don't know if Joe called as far as the actual call, what was actually played. But as a unit, it's situational awareness. And situational ball has killed this defense time and time, time again in 2022. So I don't know if that's something you drill. I don't know if it's something you like drill down on over the offseason and in camp and what have you. But, man, it was noticeably bad throughout the entirety of this season. And, you know, I can go back to the Buffalo game. I can show you things in the Commanders game. Like, there's just instances week after week.
Everything you need to know about, in my opinion, everything you want to know about the 2022-2023 Green Bay Packers, you can watch two halves of football, and they're in the same game. Just watch that game.
Yep.
That is everything great about the Packers for that season and everything shite about the Packers that season.
That is. You see, and you even used the English colloquialism. Well done.
Because it was fucking shite. That's what it was. It was a fucking piece of shite. We just laid on Tottenham Hotspur, burned that place to the ground like no one ever go there again. That place is dead to me.
Finally,
I will never go back there. I will never. I will. If the NFL makes us fucking play there, I will protest outside. I will. I hate that place. I have never had more hate in my heart for a place than that place. That place. My heart was stomped on in that place. Okay, stomped on. Just stomped on.
So is Hotspur Stadium worse than Seattle Stadium?
Yes. Right now.
Wow.
I'll go back to Seattle. Because see, the thing about Seattle was it was really funny when all the hundreds of fans, because Seattle fans are such bandwagons. Oh, man, they're the most bandwagons. The 12th man was the 12th man was the biggest piece of garbage marketing campaign I've ever seen. The 12th man was worse marketing than G-Force. Like, I'm almost nostalgic for G-Force at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, the 12th man was some bullshit because they couldn't even long enough to watch their team win a game. Wow. Trash.
Win a game to send them to the Super Bowl. That's the best part. I love it. I love it. The other issue, of course, on defense, and this has kind of been talked about a lot on Twitter, online, in other areas, but I wanted to address it here. Way too many guys regressed on the defensive side of the ball. Unfortunately, a couple of those guys were guys that got paid, whether it was Rasul, whether it was Devondre. I mean, I would even
Preston
throw in
didn't
Kenny
regress,
Clark
though.
Into that mix.
Preston didn't regress.
Preston's one of the few, definitely. Amos definitely did. Kenny Clark had a disappearing
Amos pulled a Woodson. Kenny and Amos pulled Woodsons, and they got better as we got closer to the playoffs.
Yep. They were like, oh, here come the playoffs.
Which
well,
I mean,
I Amos
don't actually hate on that, to be honest with you. I know. And to be honest with you, I don't hate on that so much. It's like, you know.
Yeah. But it's just like, this is, if you want to talk about Joe Barry, which I understand, you also have to look at guys need to play up to their capabilities and or the standard that they have set. Because look, go back and watch the playoff game against the 49ers last winter,
Stokes,
last January.
That's a good point. Stokes, yeah. What happened to Stokes?
Stokes regressed as well before his injury. He was not playing near as well as he had played his rookie season. This is my point. Like, way too many guys that they were counting on, that they had plans to, this is our defense, way too many guys played below the standard that they had previously set. Now, look, each and every guy, maybe there's like a bunch of things that they'll point to or the team would point to say, well, okay, yeah, but, okay, fine. But when you put it together as a collective, that's a major issue. That's your defense your start frontline dudes who, as a collective, took a step back. And I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know if that's guys sloughing off. I don't know what it is, but it's apparent. And it is there for everyone to see. Because I know Devondre Campbell is a better player than he showed us this year. I know Rasul Douglas is a better player than he showed us for a lot of this year. You know, I absolutely know that Adrian Amos is a better player than he showed for much of this season. So that's the thing where it's like, I've seen you do it. I know you can do it. I've seen you do it at a high level for long stretches. But for whatever reason, this season, And it was tough. It was real tough. And it was a major issue. It's a major issue. It's one of the things you talk about, LaFleur talking about the guy to go over things with a fine-tooth comb. For me, that's a big part of it. No doubt about it.
I mean, that and self-scout are their two biggest weaknesses. Why did our players regress? And why can we not self-scout our own fucking deficiencies that every other person on the earth can see except us?
Right.
That's the second problem.
Oh, man. Well, hey, speaking of self-scouting and looking at the team, the offseason is upon us. Here are some notable unrestricted free agents heading into the offseason. Corey, I'm not going to – I don't need responses to each one of these, but I want to get your take on who
whether we keep them or not.
We'll be
right?
back. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've got Alan Lazard, Keyshawn
Nixon,
don't
see him.
Adrian Amos.
Alan Lazard – oh. I thought you were doing each one.
I was just going to list them all, and then you can name who you think is going to be back.
Oh, right.
So here's
okay. Here's some. If you do the person, and I'll say yes or no if they're coming back.
Okay. All right. Alan Lazard.
No.
Keyshawn Nixon.
Yes.
Adrian Amos.
No.
Robert Tonyan.
Yes.
Mason Crosby.
No.
Dean Lowry.
No.
Randall Cobb.
No.
Mercedes Lewis.
No.
And Jerron Reed.
Yes.
Wow. What's amazing is I agree with all of them except for Jerron Reed. That's the only one I think they're trying to move on. But every other one, I'm right in lockstep with you. That's amazing. I thought for sure we'd have more to disagree on, but I'm right there with you. I agree wholeheartedly, except for Jerron Reed. I think he was not wasn't a world beater this year, but I thought he gave them some really kind of consistent defensive line play. No, he's not a superstar. He's not J.J. Watt.
Well, that's why I said yes. I said yes to Jerron Reed, though.
Did you? I thought you said no.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're all good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, no. And the reason why was the same reason, because I felt like Jerron Reed's one of those guys where you need a bunch of those kind of guys in the mix, and he's probably not going to cost you a lot of money. So because I was thinking about
that, right?
It's like, like Lazard, he's going to get a contract, right? Everybody Amos will probably get a contract somewhere, but like at some point we've got to move on from some of these guys. Mercedes Lewis, I mean, I love him, but he's going into his 19th season or 18th season. It's like, bro, come on. Like this is a young man's game.
Randall
we need to have
too.
A young man's
I
team.
Love, hey man, I
the
love
the only reason Randall Cobb stays on the
time.
Team is if he does veterans minimum, and it's because fucking Rodgers basically makes us do it. You
comes
know?
Back
that's the only reason.
Game.
There's no other reason.
Yeah. I agree. Totally agree. And I'm with you. And the thing is, someone asked, is it because Crosby retires? I suspect yes. I got that question on Daily today. My hunch is he retires. Obviously, we don't have inside information, but I think, I think he walks away. And look, as he should, man, he set the records. He's all-time leading scorer for the franchise. Yeah. Like, got nothing left to prove. Absolutely.
We do not want – the thing about the Mason choice for me is we do not want to be in a situation where our kicker's leg has deteriorated and now we're in the middle of it. We need to be thinking about the future here.
I mean, I think we're already there. I mean, you talk about the fact that he can't kick it to the end zone with consistency. We're kind of there. You know, it was a 50-plus yarder that hit the crossbar in that game. You know, like, love Mason. He's amazing, all-time Packer great. But yeah, I'm with you. It is time. And the thing was, is I thought Ahmed kicked really well in training camp. I was really excited to see him get some kickoff duties against the Vikings, but then he hurt himself in warm-up. So, I don't know. Hopefully he heals up and maybe he's got a shot to come back next summer. Interesting. I just found this interesting. The top five cap hits for next season, the 2023 roster, Aaron Rodgers, obviously, number one with $31.62 million. Bakhtiari at $29.07 million. Kenny Clark at $23.97 million. And both Bakhtiari and Kenny Clark signed those deals kind of at a similar time. And, you know, they were kind of programmed almost to both jump at the same time. Aaron Jones at $20.01 million. And Jair Alexander, who just signed his mega deal, is set to be a $20 million cap hit. My question for you, Corey Banky, of those gentlemen, who do you think has their contract redone?
Well, I would say David Bakhtiari, but he can't, right? He can't have his contract redone?
I think he can. I think they can restructure somewhat. I don't think they can do a straight restructure, but I think they can change bonus structure, essentially.
I would probably say him or and or Kenny, but I just don't. I don't know. Those are all the top five players if Bakhtiari's playing.
Yep, 1,000%. My thing is, like, I mean, with Aaron Jones, I think they have to. If they want Aaron Jones back, there's no way they carry him back at $20 million cap hit. No chance. So I love Aaron.
But even
I want
him,
back,
though? Even him?
But is he going to be amiable to it, you know? He's got Drew Rosenhaus as his agent now.
I mean,
I know
but
they did
need
the deal.
Him,
they got him back.
I mean, I know the path. I know Matt and I know Matt and Aaron don't feel like they need him because they don't use him ever. But I mean, I feel like you need him.
That's a fair point. Maybe that's part of the discussion.
I mean, I get not paying him $20 million if you're not going to hand him the ball or get him the ball ever.
Well,
shit.
Look, and that's not what they're paying him. That's his cap hit, right? It's a little different than what they're actually paying him, but. Yeah, you would count $20 million towards
the
cap.
Because they're actually
that's
paying
not an
Aaron,
insignificant amount.
Because like you have 31.62 for Rodgers, and he's getting 50 if he stays. So it's like 55.
I believe it's 59
yeah, 50
million
something. Yeah, 50 something.
Next year.
I knew it was 50 something.
Something like that.
So yeah,
I love that we're almost almost an hour into the show, and we're finally hitting Blogosphere. All right, let's do it, Nicholas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return for the final time of that venerable series, at least for a year until the next season starts. Blogosphere, baby. Look, there's obviously a lot of content out there. Tons of stuff being written and produced and video and articles and blah, blah, blah. But for me, I absolutely loved this moment from Aaron Rodgers at the podium post-game being asked by Bill Huber what he was going to miss. And the fact that Rodgers did a Rolodex of all the people that regularly get to ask him questions. The only thing he missed was Spoon. And I think it's because Spoon wasn't there. But
yeah, wasn't there because he couldn't see him. Yep.
This is phenomenal. And I don't think he mentioned Stephanie Sutton, and I don't think she was there, but she might have been. But this is phenomenal from Rodgers. Hit it.
This is it, Aaron.
Last one.
Is it last time out there, last time here? What are you going to miss?
I'm going to miss your questions, Bill. And Mike Clemens taking 10 seconds to do a lead up. And Pete angling for something. And Bob writing stories about my personal life. You've been good lately, though.
Thanks.
And Jason bringing it back home with something that's kind of heavy hitting. Stephanie Sutton coming out of left field. Good question. I miss the guys. I miss the fans. Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, that's just great. That's just great because, you know, he's not going to announce anything at that moment, but it is a way for him to kind of tie it up with the relationship he has with the people that are there day in and day out that he has to deal with on a professional level. I just loved it. I thought it was great. And he nailed it. I mean, I thought he was pretty generous with Mike Clemens, though, because Mike can take 10 seconds.
10
feels
seconds.
Like a pretty short time. Like, yeah, Mike usually takes a good
also,
minute.
What Bob was he talking about his personal life? Which Bob?
Domofsky. Because Domofsky once did a blurb. I'll never forget it. He had a thing. It was five God. Reasons Aaron Rodgers might be struggling. And the fifth one was about Olivia Munn. And since that moment, Rodgers has like given him untold amounts of shit about writing about his personal life. It was literally.
I love how he's not even. What's really funny about QB1, which I used to love about him, is I'm so much pettier than him. Like he is petty on another level, and then there's me, and then there's me though. Like that's the thing. Every time
I'm aware.
Every time I see something he does, and I'm like, man, that's petty. And then I just think in my head, I'm like, wow. You've done way worse than that.
Way pettier than that.
I've got, yeah. So you know how Dave Portnoy, and not to bring this up, but like Dave Portnoy, he has champagne bottles and they're written with his enemies. And I was like, did you know this? Yeah, so Dave Portnoy, the founder of Barstool, he has champagne bottles that he buys. So let's say you're my enemy, right? I buy a champagne bottle and I say Aaron Nagler, and I emboss Aaron Nagler on the champagne bottle. Then when you fuck up, he drinks the champagne. And I was like, that's some pretty petty good shit. And I was like, wow, you do shit pretty worse good than that. And I was like, wow. Yeah, that's pretty petty.
Pretty good. That's pretty petty.
It's good. I like it.
And yeah, but here's the thing. It's like Michael Jordan was petty as fuck, is petty as fuck. Yep. He's one of the all-time, if not the all-time great.
Yeah.
And that's that's what's driven Rodgers his whole career. You know, I wrote about that. I think it was his first year as a starter. Like, he's got some Jordan in him, right? The thing that he files away and, like, keeps it in the chip on the shoulder, all of that, right? Look, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. We love Aaron Rodgers, even though everyone thinks we hate him. Totally love Aaron. Absolutely appreciate everything he's done for the organization. Without question, one of the all-time greats to play the position. Brought a title back to Titletown. Amazing Green Bay Packer. It is time to move on. It was time last year.
I mean,
now
it's been
time. Definitely.
God. It's time
to move on.
We're going to be I'm calling it right now. We're going to pull this clip next year. We're going to pull this clip, okay? Nagler, so mark it in the script. We're going to pull the clip 364 days from now, from this moment. Because you know if QB1 – okay, so – well, I don't know. You actually don't know. But we're going to – well
– you know.
We're that close to making the playoffs this year. So it's like if we can kind of get our offensive – I mean, here's the flip side of that, right? It's like, if we just shore up our offensive line and we just make some improvements along the pieces, there's no glaring weakness. There's really no glaring besides the offensive line.
Right.
What?
Right.
Where?
I would say this.
Where?
I mean, all the stuff we saw this year, there are no glaring weaknesses.
I'm saying, sorry. There are glaring weaknesses, but there are not like unfillable holes. You know what I'm saying? It's not like there's so many holes that we can't fill them with the draft or free agency with the room we have. And, you know, we're not over the cap crazy. We are a little, you know, whatever. Like, there's magic to be made. We got Russ Ball. Come on.
Yeah, sure. We got Russ Ball. I will say, I love.
They fill a couple of those.
I love the point you made on Happy Hour two nights ago where. Like, look, if Aaron is back, and it's a total 50-50, but if he is back, you have got to. I mean, 1,000,000,000%. If the whole idea is to run it back with 12 and try to win another championship with him as your quarterback, you have got to. I don't care if it's spending the 15th overall pick. I don't care if it's going hog wild in free agency and kicking the can completely down the road. I don't care. You've got to make sure that the offensive line is amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
1,000% amazing.
Which,
because if the man has time to operate, he can still do some damage. But he's not able to do what he did as a younger man when he had, you know, there were certainly years where he didn't have the greatest offensive lines, but he was able to escape. He was able to make magic happen outside the pocket. He was able to make plays even without great protection. He needs a wall in front of him. And if he gets that, I think it can still be effective. But, you know, that's a tall ass.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're going to have to spend more than you were willing to spend on Corey Linsley to do that, by the way.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And that would be an admittance.
Which would be so ironic, by the way. Just the irony of, like, fuck!
Yeah, yeah. Very, very much so. But I will say, like, look, again, Aaron Rodgers, all-time great. Great Packer. His name's going to go up on the facade there at Lambeau. Like, 100% worthy of every accolade he's ever going to be given. But, man, it is time. It is time. And here's the thing. I was kind of resigned to the idea of, like, you and I have kind of been on this train of, like, we're going to be back here in a year, right? We're going to be right back where we've been.
This is where we were last year.
Andrew
were like,
Brandt,
let's trade.
Kinda gave
we're ready
me,
to trade.
Andrew Brandt gave me a little glimmer of hope today on Twitter when I had read Joel Corey's piece on CBS about Rodgers' contract and where it stands and what the options are as far as retire, trade, whatever. And I had retweeted it and just kind of quoted Joel's last kind of sentiment, which was, given everything we know and where this has been and the way Aaron Rodgers has operated, it would be very surprising not to be back here next January. Right, which is exactly what you and I have been saying. Like, we're going to do this again. And Andrew he retweeted me and said something like, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but like, this is the year and it's clear by the contract. And I said, well, you know, it feels like it's the year, like 100%. I agree with that. But feelings are hard to square with that contract. And Andrew again retweeted me and said something along the lines of, you know, it's pretty clear that the agreement was made so that this could be the year to get out. As far as like, there is an incredible amount of dead money either way, retire or trade. Right. But it's a fucking nuclear bomb next year and the year after. So Andrew's intimation is that they kind of knew that, all right, we'll go 1 year. It's going to be year to year, but if it doesn't work this year, then that's probably it.
But what's their out, though, besides a trade, though? What's their out?
Is to convince them to retire. It's what we talked about on Happy Hour.
Exactly.
Like, basically,
don't take $50 million. Has that ever happened in the history of the NFL?
Two things can happen. One, he restructures the contract and then retires. Like, Drew Brees did that. Like, people do that, right? But two,
what did they give him guaranteed money to retire?
The thing we talked about. Then
Packers
offer him a marketing deal. Like, yeah, turn down that $50 million. We'll give you $100 million over the next 10 years. Like, look, I'm not like, and that doesn't touch the cap at all.
That doesn't touch the cap. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why the hell do you have Titletown if not to convince
your
four-time
MVP
who is suddenly 100% feeling his age and father time is knocking on the door?
If you can fly in Aaron Rodgers, if you can fly in Aaron Rodgers for like 10 to 20 appearances a year in Titletown, you're winning. You're winning. He moves the needle.
100%.
The guy fucking moves the needle, and he's going. Unless he does what Brett Favre does, he's going to move the needle on this franchise for the rest of his life. So then, and as well, he should, by the way. And I want to say that about Aaron Rodgers, too. So a lot of people have given me shit. The problem is the Packers are more important to me than Aaron Rodgers. And they always have been, and they always will be. So every time I talk about Aaron Rodgers, it's through a filter of the Green Bay Packers. Because there is nothing almost in my life more important than the Green Bay Packers. And that sounds really stupid and overzealous, and it's just who I am. So, like, everything I've said about Aaron Rodgers in the history of this show or any time I've said is in the service of the Green Bay Packers. So, and it's been very clear in the last 24 months that what the Green Bay Packers need and what Aaron Rodgers needs are two different things. So I hope Agreed. That he makes that decision. I haven't seen the contract 100%. Now, here's the thing too. Like, I do think, like, I didn't feel this way about Favre, but if Aaron Rodgers really wants to play, I know he said he's retired as a Packer, right? But if he's got this thing where he's like, I really want to play and I want to do right by you guys, I feel like the Packers should really try to make that happen for him, right? And so, and I think that there's a way, you know, if everybody's aligned, which is really difficult to do, but if you can align at least Aaron, Brian, and the franchise around this idea that he could go somewhere, you could do a deal with somebody, but you're going to have to have QB1 and Brian on board.
Oh, of course. And it's, as we've talked about, it's got to be someone like, A, that can deal with the contract situation. You got to think whoever you sign with probably would do a new deal, but it's got to be someone desperate to sell tickets and jerseys.
Raiders, Chargers, yards, right? Rams.
Not that Chargers. They got Justin Herbert. They're not gonna, maybe the Rams. That'd be fun. The Rams might
you
do
just
it.
Said desperate, about you just said desperate for fans. Those are the three not biggest franchise desperate for
fans. The Chargers have a quarterback. They're not going to trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but
I'll tell you what, the Rams are interesting. The Rams are interesting. The Rams are interesting because they, you know, have an insane trillion-dollar owner.
They have so much money and they need... They need fans so badly.
And right, and right now,
for fans.
I know. And right now, they have a coach who runs the same system, but who knows if McVay is back next year. But maybe the Jets.
What if Rodgers actually ends up throwing to Devontae next year?
That would be insane. That would be insane.
And we get Derek Carr, and he becomes the backup.
We're
not Derek Carr is our backup.
That's
Derek Carr is our backup. I'm down with Derek Carr being our backup.
Now you are in another multiverse. Like we're all multiversed out tonight because now you're in a multiverse where Derek Carr comes to Green Bay, and that is not happening. Not happening.
I just think it would be ironic that Devontae goes to be with his best friend, and then his best friend
his
ends
best
up
friend comes back to Green Bay,
sucking his best friend, and then he ends up with Aaron Rodgers again. That's so awkward. Awkward.
Not gonna happen. All right, let's take a look at the fine folks on the old YouTube. What the comments are here this evening?
Oh!
Got
lined
up for us. Thank you. This is you.
Jesus. I got Watson 5. Can you buy Carry the G online? You cannot. And I just want to make a little note. The reason I pushed this, you cannot buy Carry the G online. So Carry the G currently is in stores, some stores. A lot of Green Bay stores were sold out last week. Len, one of our Cheesehead TV fans, Patreons, he actually had DM'd me and was like, hey, I can't find it like in 6 places. So of the 26 places, I think there's maybe like 12. The goal is to sell out. This was the 8th batch that we did. 8 batches. We thought we were going to do 4, so we doubled our batch capacity. And the goal is to bring it back next season if everybody wants it back. So we'll do you won't be able to buy it now, and it'll come back at the beginning of
next season.
So
if you've got it at home, keep it as long as you can because it won't be available throughout the summer.
Then we got Gerd Rentz. Greetings from Germany. What's up, Germany?
What's up, Gerd?
Dustin, thanks for Super Chat. Corey, just got a house on Shadow Lane. Do you have a contractor you could recommend? Negs, I'll have a whistle pig 18-year at training camp. Hope you'll join. Dustin.
Holy shit. Wow.
Are you on Twitter, Dustin? I'd say DM me on Twitter. That's probably the best thing to do. Or send an email to contact@cheeseheadtv.com. I tend to answer those. Well, usually what I do is I forward them to Nagler to deal with. But in your case, right. I'll deal with it myself. I got some contractors. I got some people. I know some people. Luke Kearns. When I moved to San Diego in 2000, I never thought I'd have this access to the Packers. Thank you. Aaron, was an honor to meet you in NYC. And Corey, I hope to have a drink with you sometime in Green Bay. Luke, yeah, I would love to. That would be amazing.
Absolutely, Luke. Thank you, Luke.
Let me look over here. Okay. Henry Esparza, thanks for Super Chat. With or without Rodgers here, should we look at D-Hop?
Man, I'd love it. I don't know. I haven't looked at his contract. Of course you should. 1,000%.
Speaking of, did you see that?
In on every conversation, right? Absolutely make the phone call.
What's the deal with that whole OBJ, like, airport? That was so weird. Like, dude, just stay away from that guy. I hope we don't. I hope we don't really entertain getting that guy. There's something about him.
They probably won't now. 2 years ago,
He's gone over the edge, dude. What happens to these guys? Great. They just think their shit doesn't stink, and they turn into like really terrible human beings. That guy has turned into a fucking douchebag. God, maybe he always was one. I don't know. Jocelyn, two unimpressive W's over preseason rosters, and two more with unsustainable TO margins provided a lot of false hope. Turnover margins provided a lot of false hope, but this team was never very good. Looking forward to following Cheesehead TV as another tense offseason unfolds. I mean, Jocelyn, you make good point. This is an 8-8 team that was lucky to be an 8-8, right? So, and eventually became 8-9. So,
kind of. I will say though, I get the idea that the turnover differential was like hard to maintain. Zero doubt about it. The fact that they were winning those games though, without the offense really taking advantage of those turnovers, at least gave you the idea that, okay, they've got lots of different ways that they can win. And I understand you're not going to have a 105 yard kickoff return every game, like, no doubt. But
why not?
That Vikings game certainly looked like a team that was turning the corner and was playing kind of at their peak and hitting their stride and like finding their identity. So I understand Packers fans getting excited, right? Like, yes, to your point, you beat the Rams, you beat the Bears. Like, you know, that's not anything to get excited about. But
yeah.
Especially coming off a 5-game losing streak in a stretch where they look so bad, to finally, A, start winning, and then B, like I said, just starting to put it all together against the Vikings. That's, I understood the kind of excitement, But you're right. You're right.
Massimiliano Margagliati.
What's up, Em?
Good, I think. Once again, thank you for everything you do at Cheesehead TV. You mean a lot for every fan around the world. Always, go Pack Go. Thank you so much for the super chat. Thanks for the sentiment. Em. Ian, fellas, as always, thanks for all you've done for Packer fans worldwide. Cheesehead TV is the best in the biz. Next year, I'll see you both, hopefully in Green Bay. Maybe have Corey's old fashioned. Definitely see Nags in New York. MD Packers fan, a.k.a. Ian. Ian, I've seen two games, thanks, I Ian. Believe, with Ian, both in D.C.
I was going to say D.C., right?
Hung out with Ian, yeah. I haven't seen him in Green Bay yet, though. I missed him last time he was here. Thank you, Ian. Appreciate you.
It'll happen.
Michael Dallaval. There is nothing that happens this year on offense that couldn't have been done just as well with Jordan Love at the helm. It's his time.
Ooh, damn. I mean, I don't know if that's strictly true, but it feels true. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Ryan Willie, the local media should have never compared MLF to Lombardi after his first season. Father Time has caught up with Rodgers. At least the Packers don't have to play in not so dry stadium next year. thanks for the super chat.
Pretty good.
Justin, it sucks to admit, but the mystique of Lambeau in January is dead. We now lose big games there on a regular basis. Need to get that back going forward, no matter what the team does and whoever's QB. I agree with that sentiment.
Well, until they build the team for those environments, it won't ever change.
They may win some games,
but it's not going to change.
The ghost of Curly Lambeau was doing some work this season. I'm just going to say that. Okay, so as poor as they were doing in Lambeau, the ghosts of the ghosts of Lambeau Field were doing their job. So,
true.
Overshadow true. Sean. Thanks for another year of misery loves company. Go Pack, go for life. Thanks, Overshadow.
Thank you, Overshadow. You're an OG,
baby.
The
Or King.
Thank you, buddy.
Not sure what's going on with this guy's name. The Or King. Just subscribed. Can't believe I hadn't yet. Fucking love the takes content, especially you two and y'all's dynamic when you're on together. Thank you. Appreciate
you. Thank you,
Or
King.
Thanks
really
for the.
Thank you.
Okay, Jason Anderson. Corey, I agree with you about 12. Every season ending loss, he has crumbled every time when there was a miscue on offense. He has always folded like a lawn chair. It does feel different. Like he used to not. Like he used to be the rock, right? I remember the Super Bowl, obviously. And you're
right?
just like,
it's
wow,
crazy
who
because
is this guy? It's incredible.
The first half of his career, it's like he kept putting them ahead and the defense would be the thing that would lose them the game. The back half of his
Arizona
career,
game. Look
been,
at the Arizona game, right? Arizona
100%.
game. the playoff 100%. Game. He pulls it out of his asshole twice, makes it happen, and the defense shits the bed in the next play of the game in overtime.
I mean, but then you like juxtapose that with the back half of his career, and it's like, how many times has this guy had the ball in his hand to go win the game, and he can't do it? You know what I mean? So it's just a different dynamic dependent on the time frame of his career that you're looking at.
Hey, Soder, thanks for Super Chat. 12 could do the Carry the G pregame meet and greet. Yeah, I'm sure.
Come to
I'm sure
the Plaza Packers, Pit Stop.
I'm sure the Packers would pay for that. Like $10 million an appearance.
Carry the G. I mean, it is his phrase. We took it from him, so why not?
Yeah. I'm sure, like, after he retires, he's going to try to fight us on the trademark. This is going to be fun.
I can't wait.
Nick Keller, he's going to have so much money, too. It's going to be crazy. Nick Keller, thanks for Super Chat. Gents, what a year. Thank you for everything you do. A true masterclass on making our favorite team even more entertaining. Moving to Green Bay soon. Oh, can't wait to see you both around. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate
Amazing.
Ya.
Nick, thank you so much. Really appreciate it, man.
Everybody should move to Green Bay. It's a good place to be. SWAT, thanks for Super Chat. The juxtaposition of Corey ranting next to Aaron laughing is a much-needed joy for the season. Thank you both for being formative, entertaining, and, of course, for carrying the G. Go, Pet, go. Thank you, SWAT. Appreciate you.
Thanks, SWAT. Appreciate you, man.
Ian. Oh, he's reminding me. Hey, Corey, I did see you in GB right after you got the house. Remember, I got to take a pic with Nags in the backyard and meet your fam. Must do it again. LOL. Yes,
oh
I do
gosh.
Remember now. Thank
that's
you
right.
for reminding me.
That's right.
I appreciate that. Dude, that's so long ago. I barely remember what I did yesterday.
That's another world, man. That's a whole other world.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, the Packers, they're just so depressing. They really are.
They can be.
Like,
times,
honestly, this season, I have never felt I'm just going to be straight up. I have never felt more depressed and kind of just annoyed by the Green Bay Packers than ever as a fan. And I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe it's like we're out of the pandemic and we're kind of back to stuff and like maybe it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what it is, but it's like
You know what you need to do? You need to take a deep self-scout and deep dive into Lake Corey and figure it out, man. You need to just kind of break it down piece by piece, game by game, and figure it out. You know,
I might need to microdose some ayahuasca. I might need to microdose, do some microdosing.
Oh, there you go. It couldn't hurt, right? Couldn't hurt. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. You guys are really the lifeblood of what we do here at Cheesehead TV. We really appreciate your support. Crazily enough, as bad as the Packers did this year, we grew again in numbers on Patreon. I can't thank you guys enough. Thank you so much. If you want to join, support what the brand does, patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. Also, a shout out to our Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. You get access to our weekly happy hour, special emojis featuring Corey and myself, and you do support everything at Cheesehead TV. Really appreciate that support. Corey, before we head out into an off season of great import, you have anything, any final words for the Packers fan base out there, since essentially we won't hear from you again probably until the draft?
April. If you can find Carry the G, try it, because it's good. I like it.
It is good. It is really good. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with my co-founder here. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We understand there is a ton of content out there, and the fact that you make Cheesehead TV even a small part of your daily Packers intake means the world to us. Thank you so much. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time. And just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.